You've been on the Lane County Board of Commissioners for a term, and you're running again for county commission. So maybe just to start with, explain why you're running again.
Well, I'm running again to continue what I promised to do when I ran 4 years ago, and that was to concentrate on making the county a little bit more business friendly and bringing jobs into the county, and then also prioritizing public safety in our budget and trying to save some efficiencies so we could have that money available for public safety. But those are the two big issues I ran on 4 years ago. I spent the last almost three and a half years now doing just those things, and what I want to do is continue. Those are going to be my priorities, is job creation and public safety.
Clearly, there's been at least some progress in terms of public safety, in that voters did agree to help fund more jail beds at the county jail. But can you give sort of a status report on where we're at, starting with public safety?
Sure. Well, the voters not only chose to fund additional jail beds, but they also funded additional capacity in our youth services department, which is really critical because we had gotten down to where we weren't doing 24-hour intake. So somebody arrested off hours, a juvenile was actually being held in an adult facility till the next morning, which is not a good thing. So we got that passed. It's the first time the county voters have passed a levy in 14 tries. So I was pretty proud that we were able to do that. But in addition to that, we lobbied for some language definitions in the state law that allows us to use federal forest money for rural patrol. Got that legislation passed and allowed us to transfer $4 million from the road fund federal forest money into our patrol division, and we reestablished 24-hour patrol in the rural areas. It's still not adequate patrol, and we still have inadequate resources available in our prosecution and in our treatment and, you know, post-conviction supervision and all that. There's many pieces of the public safety puzzle that aren't up to speed, but we've managed to patch some of it over the last 3.5 years, and we're actually going to be stable coming into this year's budget because we reserved the federal forest money that came in after we had approved our budget last year for this upcoming budget. So we'll be able to keep all the same patrol level and prosecution, et cetera, for this next 12 months. Looking out beyond that, it's going to be a little bit difficult. But we have made a considerable change with the new jail beds. They've allowed us to decrease our capacity-based releases. We were averaging over 90 every week, and we're now averaging maybe 30, and that's a huge difference. And we haven't released anyone accused of a violent crime since we reopened those beds.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as a long-term solution for this problem?
Longer term, you know, the board right now is working on a 10-year public safety plan. The sheriff and the DA have been working with a group of folks putting that plan together. They just presented it to the Public Safety Coordinating Council about 2 weeks ago, and it's going to be coming in front of the board again relatively soon. They presented an early draft last December to us, and basically that's just trying to define what is the base level of system we need and how much is that going to cost, and then we can start looking at how to fund it. There are a couple possible ways of funding it. Probably the most popular and ambitious way in trying to fund public safety in Lane County is to develop the Deschutes County model here, which is having two special districts within Lane County, one that includes all the incorporated cities that have police forces that funds those functions of the public safety system that benefits both rural residents and city residents, like the jail, like our prosecution services, like youth services, parole and probation. We do that for all felony folks, whether they're arrested in the city of Eugene or out in Triangle Lake. The second district would exclude those cities that have their own police force, like Eugene, Springfield, or Vinita that contracts for it, and Cresswell, and would just be the rural areas, and that would support those services that are particular to the rural areas, i.e. patrol, the sheriff's patrol. And that way, people don't feel like they're subsidizing the cities, or the cities don't feel like they're subsidizing the rural areas. And that worked really well for Deschutes County, but it took them about 8 years to put that in place because you're basically creating two new government entities. Mm-hmm. So it takes time to set that up, educate people as to how that's going to happen, and then actually have the elections to create those entities and set up the boards and everything else. So it's a longer-term solution. That's one of the reasons why we're looking at a 10-year plan, is how do we get there? At the end of 10 years, what we're hoping to have is a stable public safety system in Lane County.
And one of the things that makes me think about when you talk about the rural parts of the county is the fact that you're representing West Lane County. So that's a huge geographical area, and with a lot of diversity in terms of rural and people that live in cities. So kind of how do you do that, and how do you do that well, you know, in order to represent your constituents?
Yeah, the two rural commissioners definitely have a big job cut out for them, because we represent and are the first level of government for a considerable number of people. The people that are inside cities at least have their councils to go to first. Our residents go directly to their commission. It's a difficult task, and I can tell you that I have put a lot of miles on my vehicle, way more than I get reimbursed for. It's where I actually have the highway between Vinita and Florence memorized, and spend a lot of time on the road, and you spend a lot of time on the telephone and on email. Doing constituent services, because we are that first level, one of the really important tasks and one of the things I enjoy is doing those things. In fact, right before I came over here, I was responding to somebody that's an unincorporated Santa Clara about a barking dog issue that they're dealing with out there. And it's just those little things that you help people with, because you are the first level government. And if they're not quite getting the answer they want, they come to their commissioner. So it takes a lot of time. You're never not a commissioner. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job.
Last week, Governor Mike Huckabee was in town for a fundraiser, and I understand you were at the fundraiser. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I was invited by the people that organized the fundraiser to attend, and that fundraiser was held by a political action committee that's independent of my campaign and independent of any party. It's a group of local business folks that are just interested in promoting pro-business candidates. And they invited me to attend. It was an interesting event. Governor Huckabee is a good speaker, much better than I am. And it was a nice evening, and that's about it.
I do understand that the part of why they invited you is because they do support you, your candidacy, and I think you told me that it wasn't necessarily a fundraiser for you, but that you could benefit from it.
The PAC has its own board, like all PACs, no different than I've received money from the Public Works Local 626 union. Their board voted to contribute that money to me. How they raised that money was, you know, through their dues and other ways. This PAC was raising their money through this event. If they choose to contribute money to me, it'll be a vote of their board to contribute money. They have contributed to me in the past, so they are supporters of mine. But the event itself was a fundraiser for the PAC, which I had no role in organizing or putting on or even inviting the speaker. And if they choose to contribute any of the proceeds of that event to me, it'll be an independent decision of that board.
Okay. And it's been a kind of a rocky couple of years for the Lane County Board. The county administrator, former county administrator Leanne Richardson, was fired last summer for improperly converting vacation and deferred compensation to take-home pay. What did you learn from that experience and from her tenure as administrator?
Yeah, actually, I want to be clear. She was fired for being untruthful about improperly converting leave time, the deferred comp didn't come into the question. And it's that untruthfulness is why she was fired.
And, you know, just looking back, what do you feel like the board has learned from that, and sort of what do you take going forward in terms of, you know, promoting and keeping ethics at the forefront?
Well, I think what the board learned is, you know, even an employee that had spent 2 years of getting outstanding performance reviews from 360 degree, which means, you know, from above and below, and had been doing some pretty spectacular things, can suddenly go off the rails. And I don't know what caused the change. It's difficult to know what was happening in their personal life. But what we did learn is we need to have a little bit more control over certain processes in the county, and that post audit that we did with Moss Adams found some of those ways we can provide those controls. There were holes in our system that have been there for 30 years since we became a home rule charter county, frankly, that had always been there, but no one had ever taken advantage of. And we're closing up some of those holes with some of those changes. The other thing is we're bringing back a position that had actually been eliminated back in 2009 by the previous board of an internal auditor. And we're in the process. It looks like we're going to probably contract that out on a temporary basis to try and decide what function we want that auditor to have. Is it going to be more of a financial auditor, or is it going to be more of a performance auditor? Because it's two different skill sets. And once we kind of hone in on what we want, we're probably going to then go out and advertise for that position. But temporarily, it'll be a contracted out service. So those two things, I think, a little bit of change in process, better checks and balances there, and a little bit and bringing back the auditor's position will help prevent this from happening or getting as far down the road as this one did. But you can't ever completely guard yourself against an employee that has some kind of personal issue going on and then chooses to violate policy and then be untruthful about it. I think we've seen that happen everywhere from Cottage Grove and their water department to even the Pape Group had somebody buying and selling cell phones. It happens all over, unfortunately. People become distressed financially through something and choose to make some very poor personal decisions.
She said that you were one of the commissioners that was aware that she was doing this.
She also said two other commissioners were, and the independent report said she was untruthful.
Okay.
So that what she said versus what was actual have been shown by the investigation to not be the same. So and unfortunately, it makes a great headline for the Register Guard to say Richardson said commissioners knew, and then you had to read down through their entire article to the end to say, and by the way, the investigator found her to be untruthful.
Kind of with this, and then there have been other concerns, previous board to when you got on the board, but there have been some incidents around ethics and, there was a lawsuit against a couple of the county commissioners. I guess just going forward, how can the board be, sort of moving past all these controversies?
Well, I think one of the best ways to move past that is to be truthful and open. I've been, as I ran 4 years ago, told people exactly what I wanted to do as a commissioner. I've been executing that as a commissioner. I'm telling people now that's what I want to do in my next term, and to continue to execute that in my next term. That's the way you build trust. You say what you're going to do and then do what you're going to do and then tell people that you did it. We built everything from the levy, which we built in with being put in a special revenue fund and with annual auditing to reestablishing the internal auditor's position that was eliminated by the previous board. Those are things that we can do. I don't think anyone can look at this board and say that there's an ethics issue. I think we all understand the open meetings law very strongly. In fact, I lobbied against relaxation of it. Senator Prozanski was looking at a bill that would have basically gutted the open meetings law in my mind as far as email and other serial meeting sort of issues. And I lobbied strongly to not have that changed. I feel it very importantly that we should always be doing our business in public. And that's, that's what I intend to do in the future and what I've done through my term to date.
Now, the board has hired a new county administrator, and he hasn't started yet. Is that right?
No, he starts on May 5th is his first day.
Okay. And what are your, do you feel good about the process and who you hired and just kind of what are your, expectations?
Yeah, I feel really good about the process. We reached out nationally across the country through a recruiter, a national recruiter. We got 23 applicants in. They were all very well qualified. We narrowed it down to the top five. We brought those five in for interview panels that included citizens and had a couple receptions, where they could, people could meet them when their guard was down a little bit, not maybe in the interview process. And the Steve Mokrzyjewski.
Thank you.
Yeah, I learned to pronounce that now. It's all long vowels.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the thing to remember. Rose to the top. And there's a couple, and this goes towards being very open and transparent. One of the things that was really strong about him was some of the things he's established in Douglas County, Nevada, to make that county government very transparent. One of the things he does is he does a monthly live internet chat through the local newspaper that actually, is videoed and goes up on, YouTube and whatever else. If you wanted to search for it, you could probably find it as a way of just being very open with the community. And that live chat, anyone can submit questions for it. He just has really demonstrated that ability. He's also demonstrated ability to stay away from the politics and just do the administration. That's looking back. If you look back into his experience in Milwaukee County in Wisconsin, which is a far larger county than Lane County, he transitioned through an administration where the county executive and several of the supervisors had to resign because of a pension scandal. That was basically a Democrat administration. He was one of the only staffers that was held on in the county executive's office through the transition that was an appointed Supreme Court judge by the governor. So that was kind of the nonpartisan phase. And then he was the only person and ended up being chief of staff to the follow-up Republican administration in that they're a partisan county service back there in Milwaukee, but he managed to stay through all that and stay away from the whole partisanship that was going on there. You can imagine how that was going, to have this pension scandal and then the special election brings in a clean sweep of a Republican county executive, and ended up serving as chief of staff. And I couldn't tell you what his party registration is. From all the conversations I've had, I feel between his the skill sets he's developed in both a large county and a small county where we're in the middle, and his ability to be very open and transparent and build consensus with the public that he demonstrated through his experience and his ability to kind of transcend politics, I think is going to bode very well for Lane County. I think I'm really excited about having him come on. I think we're also, as a board, doing a really good job of preparing for him to come on. We've kind of planned out his first 90 days with a lot of meetings with community leaders from mayors and city administrators to the executive officers for several nonprofits. We've got him pretty well scheduled out, and he's going to be a very busy person. But I think he'll learn the community very quickly and hit the ground running. I'm really looking forward. And we also, fortunately, like I talked about earlier, we have a fairly hold-serve budget year coming up. So there's not going to be a lot of budget disruption as he comes on. And he'll basically have that, you know, 12 months to get ready for a budget that may not be so easy to take care of, you know, a year from now.
Okay. And, you know, you mentioned partisan and politics and, you know, the board, the Lane County Board is nonpartisan, but clearly there are, everyone has their political point of view. Do you feel like things are more harmonious now with the setup you have now? Because I know there's been some issues in the past or just like disagreements that seem to be not so much personal, but, you know, philosophical.
Yeah, well, I think the board in general is all about, and even when there were disagreements, it was just about method more than what we were after. We all are after, you know, doing the best for the citizens of Lane County and improving their lives. And I don't think, you know, whether it was Rob Handy or, you know, now dealing with Pat Farr, neither one of them wanted things badly for the citizens. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, how they wanted to get to the end, you know, and the means of getting there was the disagreements. I think this board has shown an ability to work across party lines. I worked with Representative Hoyle very closely in getting the state hospital sited out in Junction mm-hmm. City. We're working very closely now with both Representative DeFazio and Senator Wyden on the timber issues. I think those issues that benefit Lane County transcend party. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will work willingly with anybody from any philosophy if the goal is the same. Yeah, and that's, you know, an issue coming up next week definitely transcends party. We're going to be hearing the National Defense Authorization Act resolution on April 15th in the evening, and that's really being driven by Commissioner Sorensen and myself, you know, which is other, you know, people could look at that and say we're opposite ends of the spectrum, but there are places we can both agree, and that's on civil liberties and freedom issues, and that's what we have to look for, is where do we agree, and finding those places we can agree and move forward. And I think this board's been pretty successful at doing that. I think it's gotten better as the years have gone on, and we're working very well together right now.